I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, God's got more in store. God's got more in store. This morning, our text deals with the Exodus story. The story of the Exodus deals with God leading the Israelites out of the hand of Pharaoh and out of a life of bondage. This narrative is one of the most exciting because it is pregnant with potential, possibilities, and principles for the productive living of our days. It is in the Exodus that we see God's commitment to never allowing his children to stay in a position of bondage without him coming to do something about it. It is the manifestation of God that will bring liberation to your situation. For the Bible declares that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When we examine the Exodus story, we can clearly see that it is God's desire to deliver the children of Israel, to take them out of bondage and to bring them into a blessing. What we must understand and get in our spirits is that God always takes you out of one thing so that he can bring you into something else. So I'm here to let you know that what God wants to take you into, it will be far better than what he's going to bring you out of. You see, God uses the process of breakthrough to take you out of bondage, take you out of debt, take you out of financial crises, to prepare you and set you up to move into the manifestation. For you to see the glory of the Lord in your life, to bring to fruition, to manifest all that God has promised you. As we look at our text, God is preparing to take the children of Israel out of bondage. In verse 35 and 36, God gives some instructions because he's preparing them for their destiny. It says the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. This brings us to my first point. The text points out that God is saying, if you do the ridiculous, I will do the miraculous. Verse 35 says, they went to Egypt. They went to the Egyptians and they asked. Now, when we look at the word ask in this text, the Hebrew translation means they demanded. It is a stronger word than ask. It's not a request in the Hebrew. It is to make a demand. It speaks of someone that demands what they have a right to. So here in the text, we have the Israelites who are slaves because they are not yet free. And they're acting like they have a right to demand something from the same folk that have kept them in bondage. And that sounds ridiculous. The text says they made this demand and God caused the enemy to see them with favor. That makes the ridiculous demand, and God makes the miraculous response. If you just do what God says, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, God says he will do the miraculous. Let me go to the Bible and prove it to you. When God told Abram and Sarah that they were going to have a son when they were far beyond the years of childbearing ability, that sounded ridiculous. only for God to empower Abraham to produce. Now that was miraculous. When you look at the walls of Jericho and see God telling Joshua and his army to march around the walls of Jericho for six times and seven times on the seventh day, that sounds ridiculous. Only for the walls to fall when they shout. Now that was miraculous. Now, I don't have to go to the Bible to find a witness. I'm sure I can stop right here because I know I can find somebody in Patchogue UMC that can testify that something happened in your life that looked impossible and God told you to do the ridiculous only to have God make it possible. And I know it was miraculous. I remember hearing a story. I don't know if I read it. I don't remember where, but it was an evangelist that was talking about their experience, and God told her to wear shorts under her dress when she was going to minister a revival or something. And he told her to put on shorts under her dress. And then later he said, I want you to go down and do a cartwheel when you're in the service. Now, behind the scenes, there was someone who's about to give up on life. And God, and the person's request was, God, if you are real, then I want to see someone do a cartwheel in this church. So the evangelist listened to what God said to do. That was ridiculous. I don't even know if I could do a cartwheel. But she did a cartwheel in the church. And that saved that person's life. Because they believed that God was real. Because that was ridiculous. Right? Sometimes you got to do the ridiculous because you don't know how God is moving. He's using you to bless someone else. Amen. God says, if you follow my commands, like I tell you in my word, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, I will do the miraculous. I know somebody can testify about a ridiculous blessing. Maybe some of you are working on jobs that you weren't even qualified to get. Much qualified to keep. But not only are you there, you've been there, you got a promotion, and that sounds ridiculous. Because there were people there with more experience than you. There were resumes. Their resumes were a mile long, and yours only had three lines, two commas, and a period. But God told you to go there anyway. And you got the phone call that said, when can you start? Because God says, when you do the ridiculous, I will do the miraculous and give you favor. Somebody, let's just shout hallelujah. Point number two, when you get delivered, you get delivered with gifts to give. Now, the Israelites come out of bondage with all this stuff. God is preparing them for their destiny. Now, it's a little hard to comprehend why they were leaving with silver, gold, and fine clothes when they were headed to the wilderness. There were no moles in the wilderness to use silver and gold. So my question is, if they are going to the wilderness, why do they need so much wealth with nowhere to spend it? Now, we know God does not do anything by accident, but everything by providence. Everything God does has a purpose. It was not that God was preparing them for a fashion show in the wilderness, but what you have to do is go over to chapter 25 and read that to get the picture. In that chapter, God tells Moses to take up an offering to build him a dwelling place. So how could poor slaves give such an offering to build a dwelling place, and God says, remember what you left with? God gave them blessings so that they can give some of it back to God. God blessed them to be a blessing. They were not given an offering to purchase a blessing, like so many people are taught in church today. If you want a house, come give $1,000. If you want my miracle water, email me and send a love token of $20. Have you seen all of that stuff? You don't have to give an offering to purchase a blessing. That is not the concept. So many of us miss the point that's found in the story. They didn't give to purchase a blessing, but they gave because they already had the blessing. So you don't give because you are looking for God to do something for you. God, I need a house, and I'll give this to you. Give me a house. I'm trying to make an even exchange, right? You give because God has already blessed your life. They were giving to build a place for the presence of God. They were preparing a place for God to manifest his presence. When we give glory to God, that's when the God of glory appears. So we need to understand that out of our worship, we give glory to God, and in that glory, God appears. The glory of God is manifested through a heart that is filled with true, passionate worship. Thus, we can say, in a certain sense, that we are creating the glory through our praise and worship. And in this glory, God can do creative wonders. God will manifest himself. For the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So that means when we begin to offer God praise, God will make himself known. You will begin to feel the presence of the Lord. Some of you may start crying. Some of you may feel like a little chill or something, and you move a little bit. The presence of God is letting you know that, hey, I'm here. You know, because God is omnipresent, right? So God is already here. But there's something different about God in there's stages of God's presence. So God's manifest presence is when you can feel God. And some of us haven't felt God. But there are some criteria that you've got to do to feel God. So that'll be another lesson that we can talk about so that we can feel God. How many of y'all want to feel the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Not too many people wave their hands. Okay. Because let me tell you something. The Bible lets us know in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So if you can get into the presence of God, you will fill up on that fullness of joy. And then you'll become a little bit stronger because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's all connected to the presence of God. Trust me, when you experience being in the presence of God, you're going to want to always be there. Hallelujah. You forget about your problems because as you're praising God and God is touching you. You may be crying, or you just may have your hands lifted up, or you may just rock back and forth, but you feel God's presence on you. That's all. What's it all about? Why come to a church and you can't feel the God you serve? Nothing to be scared of. We don't want you to be afraid of the presence of God. But it is a good feeling. And it'll help you, give you the strength you need, give you the uplift that you need to go on another day. When life is hitting you, you get into the presence of God and let God speak to you. God is awesome. Woo! So if you need God to create something in your life, if you need God to speak his word in your circumstance, then it is time to call on the name of the Lord and worship him until God's glory appears. My final point. Do you know the Bible is a fascinating book? When you read it, you will discover that there are many passages of scripture throughout the Bible giving insight and details to a story that you may have read in another book or another chapter of the Bible. Psalms 105 is a perfect example. It is a psalm that comes out of this story that we're talking about today. For Psalms 105, verse 37 says that God brought them out not only with silver and gold, but it also says that there was not a feeble person among the tribes. No sickness, no pain. No post-traumatic slave disorders. Now, remember, they were slaves working hard labor every day under the oppressive hand of the taskmaster. They cried out in their pain in Exodus, which means that they were in pain in Egypt. But Psalms 105 says that no one came out with pain. So the last point here is God says, when I really deliver you, you will have no vestiges of your vicissitudes. You will have no vestiges of your vicissitudes. So let me break that down for you. I know you're like, what? But you just have some new words in your vocabulary if you didn't know them. That means when you come out of bondage, whatever you caught while you were in bondage, God is saying, I'm taking it off and out of you before I bring you out. Which means they came out not looking like what they had been through. There was nothing on them or in them that gave evidence that they had been in bondage. See, deliverance just doesn't give you favor and money, but it gives you restoration. Because many may know you can have all the money in the world and still be bound. You can be out of something, but that something can still be in you. I'm out of that relationship, that abusive relationship, but all the hurt and the pain is still in you. So now let me flip this thing. If you are still walking around with the stuff that God brought you out of, then you haven't been delivered. So if you're still walking around with those issues, those things that, oh, God delivered me, but you're still walking around with that stuff, then you haven't been delivered. See, what you got was relocation, but not restoration. And that's the reason why some folk can't function properly in their location, because they were relocated, but they were not restored. So in essence, you have taken the hell that you went through from the old situation to your new location. But I'm here to tell you that when God brings you out, God will restore you and you come out brand spanking new. God's got more in store for me. He will give you joy in sorrow. He will be your hope for tomorrow. God will open doors for you. Doors that no man can close. And God can close doors that no man can open. You've just got to put your trust in the Lord. You've got to believe what you pray for. If you're asking God to heal, if you're asking God to deliver, if you're asking God to set free, you've got to believe that He will do it. Regardless of what your eyes will see. We have to use our spiritual eyes. And we have to see how God blessed others in the Bible. They are our witnesses. So if God did it for them, God could do it for you. If God did it for me, He could do it for you. If God did it for you, He could do it for me. So we look at each other's lives as a blessing, as a testimony. So I know if I saw that, Sister Pam, you were blessed with, I don't know, you was blessed with something, and I see it and I'm like, oh, thank God, I praise God with you. Oh, I'm so happy for you, girl. And really mean it. Watch God turn around and bless me to have something, right? We can't be jealous over what someone else has. And the bottom line is you don't even know what they had to go through to get it. You know, I'm standing behind the desk, yes. I have Reverend Doctor in my title. But you guys don't know what I had to go through to get this Reverend Doctor in my name. Right? So you have to be careful. Oh, this person think they're all that showing off. No, I'm not showing off. I worked hard. So as we close, we are people of destiny. We are people with a purpose. God has a plan in store for you, and I declare that this will be your year of manifestation. Your blessings will be manifested. Your gifts will be manifested. Your ministry will be manifested. Your business will be manifested. Your education will be manifested. Everything concerning you will be manifested if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to follow God's will. You have to do what God has asked you to do, and God will manifest. God has more in store. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this word on this morning. God, I pray that you will touch the hearts and the minds of your people. God, help them to see that you have so much more in store for us. But there are some things that we need to do in order to receive, God. So God, teach us. Let us see your hand at work. We love you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.